Hello, and welcome everyone to the Cloud English Podcast. My name is Luke, and it is October 29th, 2099. Wow, October 29th, 2 days away from my birthday, which is October 31st. So that's exciting. Well, maybe not so exciting. I'm an old man, and I don't know how I feel about it. But it is what it is, I suppose. Every year, we get 1 year older. What a shock. What a surprise. This episode is going to be focused on routines. That means talking about routines. So we're going to be talking about what we're talking about. Basically, words and phrases that you can use to share a routine, to explain what you do on a typical day. That's what a routine is, right? Your typical things that you usually do. We'll talk about frequency. We'll talk about time. We'll talk about conditionals, which is important as well. We are going to get into an episode from a popular, I believe, late 90s TV series, Monk. We're going to be learning some words and phrases from that. We're going to be talking about some other idioms that are useful, and we're going to be also looking at the voice function of ChatGPT, which, if you haven't tried it, I would strongly recommend it. It's pretty cool. It's pretty cool. Before we get started, just a few things at the top of the show, if you haven't done so already, and you're not subscribed and you like to watch or listen to these podcasts, then be sure to subscribe. And, you know, videos also going out every single week, several per week, right? So be sure to subscribe. Likes also help. So if you want to do a little thing that supports the channel, then hit the like button as well. If you want to listen instead of watch, and you are watching, then you can listen in the links in the description. All of the podcast links are there. And if you're listening and you would like to watch, you can do so on Facebook and YouTube by searching Cloud English. All right. What else? Oh, yes. If you want to grab the monthly membership on the website, which gives you access to all of the courses that are listed there on the website, you can do that at 30% off. That is a rolling thing, and that is something that's available to, my viewers. So if you guys are looking to improve your English and you want to tackle grammar and idioms, pronunciation, listening skills, thinking in English, all of that stuff, please go ahead and check that out. You can also get a free course in the links in the description as well. And you can join the free Discord. Some people like to join that and reach out to me individually if they have questions about things or whatever. And I try to be relatively responsive there too. So I think that's pretty much it. As far as birthday celebrations go, I mean, what can you do? You know, I'm an old man now. I feel like once you hit 30, it doesn't matter. I'm very cynical. Holidays mean nothing to me. Birthdays mean nothing to me. Other things mean things to me, but those things mean nothing. However, I will say that does not mean that my newborn son won't get the experience, because purely because I remember as a kid how sacred those things are. It's my birthday. So exciting, right? It's Christmas. It's Halloween. I mean, Halloween and my birthday. I always felt super special because Halloween was on my birthday. It still is. But having the double, getting candy and presents on the same day, how amazing is that, right? So I remember how special that stuff is. And so I'm excited to provide those experiences for my son. I mean, right now he's 3 months old. He can't experience much, but, you know, as he gets a little older, I'm very excited to make sure that all of the holidays, his birthday, all of that stuff, super exciting and fun. It's just that I think, I don't know, not everyone is like me. You know, they love their birthday every year. I just don't care. I get excited about other things, you know. I get excited about looking out the window and just looking out the window, thinking about how cool everything out the window is. That's what gets me excited, you know. I get excited about reading books. It sounds crazy. Well, maybe it doesn't sound crazy. I mean, a lot of people like books, right? I get excited about, what do I get excited about? My morning walk. I get very excited about my morning walk. I love my morning walk. I get really excited about my morning walk. You know, I get so excited about my cup of coffee, you know, just other things I get excited about. But who cares about birthdays? We did go to a restaurant in the city for the yearly birthday meal. And it was nice. It was nice. It was tasty. The food tasted tasty. It was a tasty, tasty meal. That's what I'll say. It was a tasty meal, that food was. All right. Okay. All right. All right. Okay. Let's get into it. I think to start, well, how shall we start? How shall we start? Okay. To those joining, hello, welcome. Happy Sunday to you. We got some people here live. Isaac is here. Hello, welcome. And Maria is here. Hello, welcome. And Tolerable Blep is here with a promotional offer. Okay. And Karina is here. Oh, wow. Great. Longtime viewer. Welcome. Great. Welcome to here. Welcome to here. Okay. Can we try this? Let's first, I just want to show this because it's cool. I just want to show this because it's cool. Okay. Let us hop over to, let us hop over to ChatGPT. Here we are. On, in, at, around, within ChatGPT. Now, if you've seen my courses on ChatGPT, check those out. I've made two courses on ChatGPT. One is about writing with ChatGPT. It's not exclusively for English learners, but it would be useful for everyone who wants to create writing, getting out of that sort of generic crap that comes out naturally. And then the other one about English learning with ChatGPT. But recent update, if you are, I don't know if this is accessible to everybody, but if you're on GPT Plus, I think it's called, whatever the membership is, you can do voice chats. And it's pretty cool. It's pretty cool. Now, we'll just do a sort of a free form sort of thing. So let's just try this out. No instructions or anything, right? We're just going to hop in. And what if you could talk to an AI companion? What if you had a conversation partner anytime who could have a natural conversation with you anytime about anything? That's basically what we're talking about here. Now, it can be more or less useful because sometimes if you ask a question, you'll get this long response and then you're just listening and listening. So if you want to do this correctly, you need to structure it correctly. And that all comes down to prompting, right? I have a whole course on that. I'm not going to get too much into it, but I just want to show you what you get when you try to have a conversation with ChatGPT. So when I look down here, I'm looking at my phone. So let's see. Hello. I think we could talk a little bit about the weather today, if that's okay. Oh, hold on. Wait a second. Hold on. Audio not working. Let's try this. All right. Maybe not.
Hello. How can I assist you today?
I was hoping
you're
you could...
You're welcome. It's great to be here with you. What would you like to discuss or chat about?
I was hoping that we could talk about the different weather patterns in the Hudson Valley and why it's so gloomy all the time here in the Hudson Valley in late October.
Ah, the Hudson Valley. It's a beautiful region, but you're right, it can get quite gloomy, especially in late October. The Hudson Valley, situated in New York State, is influenced by a mix of coastal and continental climates due to its proximity to the Atlantic Ocean and being inland. Here's why it tends to be gloomy during this time. One, seasonal transition. Late October is when the region is transitioning from summer to winter. This period often brings unsettled weather patterns, with cold fronts moving in more frequently. As these fronts pass through, they can bring rain and overcast conditions. Two, nor'easters. The Hudson Valley is susceptible to nor'easters, which are strong storm systems that can bring heavy rain, strong winds, and sometimes snow. These storms develop off the East Coast and can lead to prolonged periods of gloomy weather.
Actually, I changed my mind. I don't really want to talk about the weather anymore. Maybe we could have a back and forth conversation, and I don't want to listen to a very long explanations of things. Could you start a conversation asking me questions and follow-up questions without saying too much so that I can practice speaking a bit more? Let's go. Come on.
Of course. Let's keep it light and conversational. So, do you have a favorite hobby or activity you like to do in your free time?
Well, I like to stare out the window for hours at a time and think about things, and sometimes... Well, actually, almost all the time, I go for a walk in the morning, which is something I really look forward to every day. And I like to read as much as possible. Whenever I'm free, instead of playing video games a lot, I try to read a lot. Those are just a few of my hobbies. What about you?
That sounds calming and introspective. Morning walks are such a refreshing way to start the day. As for reading, it's a wonderful hobby. What's the last book you read or are currently reading? And to answer your question, I don't have hobbies like humans do, but I enjoy assisting and learning from our conversations.
Cool. I'm currently reading a very challenging book by Arthur Schopenhauer called The World as Will and Representation, and it's pretty difficult because it's so dense and the ideas are quite complex, but I'm enjoying it because I think Schopenhauer has a unique balance of Eastern and Western ideas.
That's impressive. Schopenhauer's philosophy is indeed thought-provoking, and I can understand how it might resonate with someone who enjoys introspection. The blend of Eastern and Western thoughts in his work makes it especially fascinating. What drew you to Schopenhauer's philosophy in the first place?
All right. So that's just to sort of give you a flavor. And now, as you can see, the entire conversation, I have a record of it. I can continue it. Now, if you want to go a step further into this, what you can do is provide your prompts, if you have a very well structured prompt, very specific prompt that you want to use to practice, I don't know, the IELTS exam, you want to use to prepare for an interview, a challenging interview. Really, the difference between what that was, which I would describe that as a fairly generic conversation, even though I did give some specific instructions. The difference between that and a well-prompted conversation is huge. It's going to be much more useful to you, much more interesting. So you have to be, number one, good at knowing how to structure prompts, and then number two, get a lot out of it if you are good at structuring prompts. So I don't know. I think it's pretty compelling. Obviously, the pronunciation is very, very natural, and the overall speed and cadence and rhythm, I think, is really, really good. I think it's very impressive. So GPT-4 is based on something called Whisper, which is Whisper is a speech-to-text recognition system from OpenAI, and it's very accurate, so you don't have to necessarily speak very clearly. You can just talk how you talk, and it's able to pick up everything very easily, even if you have a very strong accent or something like that. So there's a lot of benefits for sure. And for example, if I were someone preparing for a job interview, if I were someone preparing for the IELTS speaking exam, if I were someone who wanted to have ongoing conversation to practice my spoken English and build confidence, I would certainly use it. And because it's, as far as I can tell, the best way to have a natural conversation. You know, you're just looking at some white blobs there on the screen. That is what it is. You're not looking at a person, right? But still, I think very cool. Very, very compelling. All right. I think now we can get into our thing. Now we can get into our thing. Our first topic. Shall we? Shall we? Shall we? Shall we? We shall. All right. So let's hop over here. Let me move myself slightly. There we go. There we go. All right. So let's get into some phrases that we can use to talk about routines, things we do in a typical day. And we're going to break it into three general categories. The first category is going to be time. And then we're going to talk about frequency, how we can use frequency words when we're giving, let's say, parts of our routine. And then we'll talk about conditionals. And conditionals are if statements, basically, right? And really, it's a matter of knowing how to connect all these together to make a complete routine. That is the challenge. Once you get comfortable with the phrases, it's actually not that hard. So let's start with time. I'm just going to give some examples, but I want to be clear that there are a billion different things that we could say here for each of these. I'm just giving you a sense for these, and I want you to start thinking about how to build them out. But you may notice some common patterns in the way that these are structured, okay? And then at the end, we're going to look at a complete example. Okay, so around 9 o'clock, this is where you would talk about time, but you don't want to be too specific, right? Around, that could be before, that could be after. It's not very specific, and that can be useful because sometimes it is before or after, right? Can you say at around 9? Yes, that's okay. So if you want to say at around 9 instead of just around 9, that's totally fine. Now, sometimes it is very clearly before or after. So before hitting the gym, I have a smoothie, right? After hitting the gym. So if it's a sequence of things, then you probably want to use before or after this event. So yes, it is not exactly a time, but it is around an event. And so we can use time there. On days when I work from home, this is where we have a thing that may or may not happen, right? Now, we can phrase that as a conditional, which we're going to look at in a moment. But if we want to just say, on days when I work from home, on days that, you know, it's raining outside, something like that, then we say, that happens and that happens. We can put those together in the same way that we use if. On days when I work from home, what do you do, right? Or as soon as I get home, this is very quickly after. It's basically as it's happening. We could say simultaneous, right? As soon as I get home, as soon as I walk in the door. That's like saying the moment that thing happens. And then you connect that action. So for all of these, we're talking about when things happen, basically, connecting them in time to either other things or times. For around 9 o'clock, that's a time. Before hitting the gym, that's an event or a thing that I do. On days when I work from home, that's connected to something I may do. As soon as I get home, that is connected to a thing that I do, okay? Now let's talk about using frequency words. These are words like sometimes, always, never, usually, typically, right? So let's talk about how we could use these. And it's very similar, right? It's very similar. We can add it or remove it, either way. Typically, before my evening walk. I could say before my evening walk, and that's exactly like the examples we just looked at. Typically, before my evening walk. What is that changing? All it's doing is saying that it may not always be that way, but let's say, I don't know, 85% of the time it is that way. That's just an example percentage, but it's like saying if you were to count up the number of times that I go on a walk, right, then of those times, 85%, I'm going to do this. I'm going to, what do? Check my email, some activity, right? Sometimes would be then the opposite, would be not as often, maybe only 20%. And again, I'm just giving a rough idea. Sometimes would be less often than typically. Sometimes once I'm done, right? So maybe that's a treat. Sometimes once I'm done, I'll have a slice of cake. If I say typically once I'm done, I'll have a slice of cake, that's very different, right? That means I'm eating a lot of cake. Sometimes maybe I do that as a treat. And normally is the same as typically. It's basically the same thing. If you want to put words in there like almost always or most of the time or rarely or every so often. I mean, there are a lot of phrases that you can use there to talk about frequency. Normally, maybe has a different emphasis than typically. So normally, right before bed, normally may slightly emphasize more that if everything goes according to plan, this happens. And sometimes something doesn't go according to plan, and so then it doesn't happen, right? That may be the emphasis of normally, but you could use typically for that as well. Okay. Now let's talk about a conditional. A conditional is usually when we're using an if statement or perhaps sometimes when to state this thing happening and then another thing happening, and it may or may not happen, right? So if I skip breakfast, this is not really telling me how often I skip breakfast, but it is saying that when breakfast is skipped, and we often use when too, then another thing happens. It's connecting it to another thing. But if that other thing doesn't happen, then this doesn't happen. So if I skip breakfast, I have a coffee and then go to work, right? So that's what I have. So if I don't skip breakfast, maybe I do something else, right? It's just an example. When there's no traffic, so when there is traffic and when there's no traffic, generally will be two different things. So when there's no traffic, I drive to work. But when there's very bad traffic, I generally take the subway. So the state of the traffic determines what I will do as part of my routine. You need that kind of flexibility when you're talking about your routine, because if you don't have it, then it's not very realistic, because your life is not going to ever be 100% always, right? Sometimes you do things, and typically you do other things, and sometimes things happen, and if they happen, what do you do? And if they don't happen, what do you do? And when they happen, what happens after that, right? So we need these phrases to be able to actually realistically describe our routine. So if it's raining outside, I may skip my morning run. Okay. Now, you could say something like, I always go for a morning run unless it's raining outside. So that is to say, normally I go for a morning run. There may be one thing that can cancel that if it's raining. Okay, so you can say it either way. You could say, unless it's raining, I go for a run every day. Okay, or if it's raining, I don't go for my morning run. If you say if there, then you're trying to focus on the thing that does not happen, which means that normally it does happen. That may sound a little bit complicated, but actually it's pretty simple. It's pretty simple. So let's read through this and sort of understand it all in context. And I'm going to look down to read it. Around 9 o'clock, I start my day with some light stretching and meditation. I want to be very clear. This is not real. This is not my routine, okay? I want to be very clear. This is not my routine. I do not start the day with stretching and meditation. Although I do start the day with meditation, but I don't hit the gym. So, well, I do sometimes. Okay, around 9 o'clock, I start my day with some light stretching. Before hitting the gym, I have a protein shake to give me an energy boost. However, if I skip breakfast, I make sure to have a bigger lunch later on. When there's no traffic, it usually takes me only 15 minutes to get to work. And again, there you could say, when there's no traffic, I take the subway. You could say your action or something that usually is true when something else is true, right? So where was I? Oh, yes. And on days when I work from home, I generally take a short nap in the afternoon. Generally is sort of like usually. Yeah, it's pretty much like usually. As soon as I get home, I light a candle and make a cup of coffee. Not true for me, by the way. Light a candle. Typically, before my evening walk, I spend some time catching up on the news. Definitely not me. I don't really watch the news. Sometimes, once I'm done with the housework, I like to unwind with some music or call a friend. Definitely not me. I hate talking on the phone. If it's raining outside, I cozy up with a hot cup of cocoa and read a book. Yeah, I do that sometimes without the cocoa, usually tea instead. Normally, right before bed, I spend some time reading or journaling. Reading, yes, journaling, not so much. So, this is just an example of how we could put these together. I broke these down into three types just to give you some separation, how we can talk about time relating events together, for example, right? Around 9 o'clock, right? And as soon as I get home, we're trying to connect events together in time, right? We talked about how we can use words of frequency, usually, typically, normally, sometimes, or all of those words, which I'm sure you know, can be inserted in there to give some flavor to how often you do things, how normal your activities are. And then using conditionals to give some flexibility to your routine so that when you're talking about stuff that you do, it's clear that some things are connected to other things. And if that thing doesn't happen, then the other thing doesn't happen. Or if that thing happens, then another thing does happen or whatever, right? There's a lot of flexibility that you can add to a description of something that you do when you use a conditional. So practice these. If you have any questions, let me know in the comments. If you haven't done so already, don't forget to hit the like button and subscribe, and also get a free course in the links in the description. Okay, so hopefully that's clear with the routine. We're living in the future. Yes, indeed, we are living in the future. We are living in the future. And it's pretty exciting. I use it pretty often to test myself on maybe something I've read, and I want to check my comprehension, or I want to remember something and I might need some suggestions on descriptions that I can use to add that thing to my memory palace, or perhaps I just want to talk through it, or I want to get some quiz questions or whatever. There are a lot of different ways to use it. Even if you're not using the live conversation version and it's just text, you can still do the same thing. Pretty cool. Pretty cool. Pretty cool. Pretty cool. All right. Oh, later we're going to get to some phrases for family. If you hear giggling, that's because there's giggling. Some giggling happening downstairs. I love to hear it. You love to hear it. Giggling usually means people are happy, right? I hear happy people downstairs. Happy giggles. Happy, happy, happy. Very good. All right. I hear a giggling baby. I hear giggling mama. Giggles all around. Hee hee hee. All right, so let's get into this clip from Monk. We're just going to be going through picking out useful, interesting words and phrases that we can use in all kinds of other situations, too. Here we go. Turn your ears on. Listen. Listen. Listen carefully.
What is all this?
It's a research lab. Agricultural engineering. Dean Barry founded Beta Vegetech 5 years ago.
So what exactly do you do?
Okay, so notice he says this two times. Right at the beginning, he says, what is all this? And then later, he says, what exactly do you do? Why is he asking this twice?
What is all this?
It's a research lab. Agricultural engineering.
It's a research lab. Agricultural engineering. Okay, so we know what it is. What is all this? It's a research lab. Agricultural engineering. Okay, shouldn't that answer the question? Why does he say, what exactly do you do?
Dean Barry founded Beta Vegetech 5 years ago.
So what exactly do you do?
So what exactly do you do? Okay, now, this is an extremely useful little phrase that you can use whenever you want to dive a little deeper, dive to the next level of, let's say, specificity. I want to understand more deeply. I want you to be more specific. I understand what you said. It's a lab. Okay. Great, it's some kind of bio engineering, agricultural engineering. Fantastic. I want even more specifics. What exactly are you saying? What exactly does that mean? What exactly are you implying? What exactly am I supposed to do about it? All of these are very, very common ways to use this little phrase. Again, always to be just a bit more specific.
We're saving the world.
Oh, good for you. I was getting a little worried about the world.
Let's go back there.
For you, I was getting a little worried about the world. Is that a squirrel? Yeah. Good for you. I was getting a little worried about the world.
We founded Beta Vegetech 5 years ago.
So what exactly do you do?
We're saving the world.
Oh, good for you. I was getting a little worried about the world.
Good for you. I was getting a little worried about the world. You hear this a lot. Good for you. This is used in two interesting ways. It's used in several ways, but generally it can be used authentically and sarcastically. And sometimes it's not clear which one. Sometimes there's a little gray area between them. Good for you. That means I'm happy for you. You graduated. You got a new job. Whatever. Good for you. Good for you. People say that genuinely, authentically. Sometimes they say it sarcastically. Oh, good for you. Meaning not good for you, or maybe you think good for you, but I think that's ridiculous, or in some way I don't mean it sincerely, right? So he says, good for you, I was getting a little worried about the world. What this might be about is him being a little sarcastic to say, oh, you really think you're that important that you can save the world? Yeah, right. So good for you, I was worried about the world, but now I'm not because you're here. So that's a bit sarcastic and I think a bit funny. I like to use it sarcastically. And it may be more often used sarcastically. Oh, good for you. Oh, good for you.
We're saving the world.
Oh, good for you. I was getting a little worried about the world. Is that a square tomato?
Yes, it is. It's a pet project of Dean's. The square shape means that...
Listen.
Yes, it is. It's a pet project of Dean's.
Is that a square tomato?
Yes, it is. It's a pet project of Dean's. The square...
So a pet project. We're looking at a square tomato. We're in an agricultural biotech lab, and we see a square tomato. The question is this tomato the whole point of the lab? No. How do we know that? Because this is a pet project. So this is where there's this thing that you're working on at your job, in your life, which is very important to you, special to you. You're really interested in it. You really like it. But maybe other people don't necessarily care about it. Maybe other people don't care if it's successful or not, right? Maybe no one told you to do it. Maybe it's just your little thing, right? And if it works, great, great. If it doesn't work, that's okay too. So we know that this square tomato is not the whole purpose of this lab. It's a side project, but it's not just a side project. It's a pet project. So he's very interested in seeing if he can maybe make square tomatoes. He's passionate about that. Anything that you feel that way about, that you came up with, that you decided to do, that you focus on, you may call your pet, my pet project. If you have something in your backyard, maybe you're trying to grow a banana tree or something. Can it grow in this climate if I put heat lamps around it or whatever? It's my pet project, right? It's not my main thing.
Square shape means that farmers can pack 35% more tomatoes per carton. It's cheaper, more efficient.
So that means every slice is exactly the same size?
How does it
just
taste?
Some useful context here. Monk has OCD, obsessive compulsive disorder. So everything has to be in order, in the right place, clean. He has to touch things 3 times, that sort of thing. And so he likes the idea of a square tomato for that reason.
Slice is exactly the same size.
How does it taste?
Who cares? It's a square tomato. You're doing the Lord's work.
Literally.
You're doing the Lord's work. Literally.
Who cares? It's a square tomato. You're doing the Lord's work.
Okay, so this is tied to his OCD. The Lord's work is usually when you do something selflessly, not for you, not for your wealth, not for something else like that. You are doing something out of the kindness of your heart, right? It's pure. And we often call this kind of thing the Lord's work, as though the reward for doing this is from God. God would want you to do this, right? And maybe there are no earthly rewards like money or fame or something. Well, that would be fine for helping hungry children and providing clean drinking water or something like that. Then we would say, you're doing the Lord's work, and we would mean it. To him, it's doing something that people with OCD would really like. So people with OCD maybe would really like to have a square tomato. So to him, this is the Lord's work. That's kind of the joke. The joke is that normally you would use that phrase for something that benefits hungry children, and he's saying you're doing something that benefits me as a person with OCD. Not a very let's say square tomatoes are not something that is in, you know, not something that are in huge demand by people, right?
It's a square tomato. You're doing the Lord's work.
Literally.
And she says literally because, well, engineering food, creating something, a square tomato, it's not natural. So you're creating something that is normally grown naturally. And so they're kind of acting like gods. So she's saying that's literally the Lord's work.
Dean, Mr. Barry, I just wanted to say I'm sorry about the bite.
We're testing new corn seed. They're genetically engineered to sprout in 20 minutes.
More or less.
What? Sorry about the bite.
We're testing new corn seed. They're genetically engineered to sprout in 20 minutes.
Or
we're testing new corn seed. They're genetically engineered to sprout, boink, come out of the ground in 20 minutes.
Testing new corn seed. They're genetically engineered to sprout in 20 minutes.
More or less.
What?
More or less. So we use more or less when we want to pull back someone else on confidence or show that we're not necessarily confident about something yet. Maybe we will be, right? It's often used for things like time, money, amounts, right? But you could talk about your understanding of something. If you hear somebody explain something and they say, got it? You say, yeah, more or less. It's basically saying, I think I understand some things, but I'm not very confident about that, right? Or they say, you understand. I know you do. And you say, more or less. That's sort of saying you're being too confident about me and my ability to understand. So I want to kind of make you be a little less confident in this situation, right? So they sprout in 20 minutes. That sounds like a pretty confident claim, the corn seeds. He says more or less to maybe disparage it a little bit, to say it's not quite there or there's a lot of work to do, or maybe to show his frustration that he hasn't been able to figure it out quite yet, or that it's a long way off still, right? He's clearly very intently focused on something. So this is very useful, and it's generally used when we want to sort of say, hey, okay, let's not be too confident here. Either other people's confidence or our own, right? When are you going to be here? You said you'd be here in an hour. Is that right? More or less. That's kind of saying no. No, but, you know, it's not going to be 2 hours.
What you're seeing is going to revolutionize the agriculture industry as you know it.
Congratulations on the square tomato.
In 20 minutes.
More or less.
What you're seeing is going to revolutionize the agriculture industry as you know it.
Congratulations on...
Going to revolutionize the agriculture industry as you know it. Now, this one's slightly strange because typically the phrase is as we know it. So here it's as you know it. Most of the time you'll hear it as we know it. This is often for big picture things, industries, paradigms, a general understanding of something, right? This is going to change people's understanding of the universe as we know it. So this is generally how people understand the universe, and then there's some new discovery that's made, and now we have a different understanding. So it has changed our understanding as we know it. It has changed the industry as we know it. And here it's as you know it, not nearly as common as we know it. What's going to change it? I guess the corn. Okay, let's keep going.
The square tomato.
You want one? You could take one home.
Find it myself, Mr.
She said you can take one home, the square tomato. He can take a square tomato home, which is probably very exciting.
I don't even know where to begin.
Natalie, look at this thing. We've got nature.
He's got the square tomato here.
I don't even know where to begin.
Natalie, look at this thing. We've got nature on the run.
We've got finally nature on the run.
Thing. We've got nature on the run. Okay. Finally.
Let's stop right there. On the run. You often hear this in a crime drama or some story or plot in a movie or book or TV series where one person or group is or are pursuing another person or group, right? Criminals, for example. We've got them on the run. It doesn't have to be a criminal. Anytime someone is going after someone else and they have an advantage and the other person is trying to move away, trying to get away, trying to escape, right? And we're excited because we've almost got them. We say, we've got them on the run. We've got them on the run. It's a very exciting thing. Well, here, he's saying we've got nature on the run. We've got nature on the run means nature has, you know, always been the provider of food and vegetables and science is now allowing us to do crazy things. What kind of crazy things? The Lord's work. Square tomatoes. things that are make life for someone with OCD better. So he's expressing his excitement about this thing, which most people would consider to be kind of useless. His excitement that this is going to fit perfectly on his bread and every slice is the same size, right? It's a way to say a science is winning over nature, basically.
We've got nature on the run, finally. Look at that. Look. It's the perfect sandwich.
Mr. Monk.
Perfect. There's no overlap. There's no waste for 90 degree angles. This will virtually eliminate indigestion.
Mr. Monk.
This will virtually eliminate indigestion.
Virtually eliminate means pretty much. Anytime you hear virtually gone, virtually eliminate, right? Virtually perfect. Virtually anything means, generally speaking, if it's used in this type of sentence, close enough so that it's 100%. Yeah, okay, it might not be 100% all the time exactly, right? But it's close enough so that we could say it's pretty much 100%. Maybe you could be talking about a virus which has been pretty much eradicated so that nobody gets it. It's been virtually eliminated. But that virtually there is an important word because it is different than saying eliminated. It is virtually eliminated. It is eliminated. That means it's pretty much gone. It's pretty much gone. Not 100% gone. That's generally the idea, right? So if someone says, tomorrow rain is virtually impossible. Virtually impossible means I've checked the weather report. It says 100% clear skies, sunny day, right? Yes, it could rain, but it's virtually impossible. Virtually impossible is pretty common. So virtually eliminate indigestion. Somehow there's a connection between the shape of a tomato on a sandwich and indigestion. I don't quite understand how that works, but fair enough. That's how he feels about it. Okay, let's keep going. We've got one more.
Monk, are you gonna help me or not?
You can taste the symmetry.
Please!
You can taste the symmetry.
Please!
Taste the symmetry. The symmetry is when you have the left and the right as exactly the same. If there's a middle point, right, you can fold the left over the right, and they're exactly the same on both sides. If something is symmetrical, for example, someone's face, then the left side is the same as the right side, maybe the top is the same as the bottom. I guess not for a face, but for other things, you could say it's completely symmetrical, right? That means if you put a mirror against it, and you look at it in a mirror, and then you look at it, and then you take the mirror away, it looks the same as it did when it was in the mirror because it's totally symmetrical. So if you have a square tomato on a sandwich, then the sandwich is now totally symmetrical. Wow, perfect. And you can taste the symmetry, which is a silly thing to say, but it's kind of funny, right? So hopefully this is all clear. Hopefully these phrases make sense. If you have any questions about how to use these naturally, let me know in the comments. If you haven't done so already, don't forget to hit the like button and subscribe. Get a free course in the links in the description, and I will see you in the next one. All right. Well, thanks for joining, everybody. I appreciate you being here. Hopefully you found today's lesson useful. Lessons, I should say. We've talked about a few things today, so hopefully useful. Again, feel free to let me know if you have any questions. Whatever day it is for you, I hope you have a fantastic one. Always feel free to reach out to me on Discord, or yeah, that's actually probably the best place to do it. Again, you can get a 30% discount on the yearly membership, so feel free to check out the website and get that 30% off. And again, free course in the links in the description as well. Hope you have a good one. And I'll see you next time. Bye.